WGSMKMOX. Thank you again for all of your condolences for the passing of my mom Friday morning and all of your well wishes. And if you want to go back and podcast the first segment of the show today, I go into some detail about it. Don't want to belabor it, but really meant the world to have so many people reaching out about my mom, supporting me, my family. Really, really sweet, and I'll never forget it. My buddy Tom Ackerman joins us. Hello, Tommy.
Hey, buddy. Lots of love to you and your family, and I know you're surrounded by your radio family right now, which is really important during times like these. We all love you, man.
Thank you, my friend. Love you, too. So big news today. Tell us what happened and give us your analysis.
Really, really good trade by John Mozeliak. And I know that, you know, I come out and say that right away. Mozeliak gets criticized as much as any sports figure in this town, but this is a good trade by John Mozeliak. He is made something happen here and really did not give away a ton. Now, Tommy Edman's been a great player for this organization, but he has not played a game this year, and it's not known when he'll be able to play another game. And the Cardinals already have his spots filled. Michael Ciani's become a Gold Glove center fielder. Brendan Donovan has come into his own as a very good utility man. Nolan Gorman's now the second baseman. Mason Wynn's the shortstop. I mean, there's just not a spot really for Tommy Edman. So they traded Edman to the Dodgers. The Dodgers sent a trio of prospects to the White Sox. The White Sox sent Eric Fetty to the Cardinals, and Michael Kopech also is involved in this trade, but this is Eric Fetty going to the Cardinals. So the Cardinals also get Tommy Pham, who is a former Cardinal, gritty, tough outfielder, can slug against left-handed pitching, all the things that they needed. So John Mozeliak, when we talked yesterday, said, here are my priorities, starting pitcher, relief pitcher, right-handed bat. He's accomplished two of those three, and he did it by trading Tommy Edman, not by trading prospects, not by losing money. As a matter of fact, Edman's salary pretty much matches what Fetty is going to make, which is like 7.5 next year, pretty close. I mean, it's a pretty good deal. I mean, he gets Eric Fetty, who's going to be, for most people, a middle of the order, a middle of the rotation starter, but for the Cardinals, he gets elevated to probably a two or a three. And they get Tommy Pham, who's going to plug that right-handed side, especially against left-handed pitching, and, you know, a familiar face, and he's kind of his own person and loves to get in there and make things happen, and it's a breath of fresh air, and I think it's a really nice deal by the Cardinals.
I'd agree, and I think what's interesting about it, Tom, I think it reinforces something that we should have considered. Tommy Edman is a lot more valuable than maybe Cardinals fans thought. I mean, to get two guys and all you had to give up was Tommy Edman is a pretty big deal. Now, the Dodgers got the reliever, Michael Kopech, who throws 100, and they'll probably fix him because he has command problems, and they give up some quality prospects to the White Sox. But to do a cost-neutral deal that doesn't take anything away from your team now, doesn't take anything away from the team long-term because Edman's only signed through next year anyway, and also addresses two important needs is a pretty good one. And I think we could agree, right? The next one is probably moving Dylan Carlson off the roster to make room for Tommy Pham, and also maybe using him to add that reliever that we're talking about.
And Giovanni Gallegos, who was designated for assignment yesterday, is also in play to be dealt. And, I mean, if you end up moving all of those players and you don't have to trade a prospect to fill your needs and maybe even more than that, who knows what else they're going to do tomorrow or later today, it's a pretty good trade deadline. Now, the Dodgers fans are going to say, well, why do we need Tommy Edman? They'll find out pretty soon. When he gets healthy, that guy can play. I mean, he can play multiple positions. He's a very good fielder. He's a good hitter. And he's a good guy, good teammate. You know, he's going to be a good player for a while. So it's a nice addition to the Dodgers, but the Cardinals, again, didn't have a place for him. And Eric Fetty, by the way, for those who aren't familiar, it's okay because he wasn't a very good pitcher. And then he went to the KBO, the Korean Baseball Organization, and he pitched really well. I mean, at an MVP clip. And he learned a lot of things about pitching there. He worked on it. It gave him some breathing room to work on some things, a changeup, a little more bite on his breaking pitch, but most notably his sweeper, which teams are really struggling to pick up and hit. Not an overpowering guy, does not have an overpowering fastball to speak of, but he's a very good pitcher. And the Cardinals have landed a guy who was 7-4 this season for a team that won 27 games. This guy accounted for over a quarter of their wins.
Yeah.
That's a remarkable accomplishment to have a winning record and a low ERA for a team that can't score and can't field very well.
Yeah. It's interesting because when you look at Fetty, what he really did was he added one pitch and he changed how he used the other ones, right? So he used to be primarily throwing his sinker. He threw it 40% of the time when he was with Washington and he struggled with it. It got hit hard. So he would throw mostly that and a curve and a cutter, right? Well, he's changed that. So he does not throw the sinker nearly as much. He's cut back on that. He still throws it, but he cut back on that a lot, increased the usage on the cutter, added a sweeper, which is his best pitch. That's the one that he does has the most success with. And then also increased the use, like you mentioned, Tom, of his changeup. It went from like 3% to now like 18, 19%. So what he found was you just have to change the mix, and obviously adding a new pitch is why he's a different guy than he was 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. It reminds me of when Miles Michaelis came back over to the United States and did his thing. You know, it's a similar find, although he's already proven himself back at the big leagues where the Cardinals took a swing at Michaelis and he did his thing. He went 18-4. I mean, he was phenomenal. He was the game one starter in the 2019 division series as well, and they thought very highly of him. Fetty certainly could start a playoff game for you, and I like the addition. It's a Cardinals-type starter. You know, he's going to give you an opportunity to win. The Cardinals are definitely a better defensive team than the White Sox are, and certainly when they're at their best, they can score runs. So he should be in a better position to win than he even was in Chicago. That's, you know, goes without saying, but I think just in general, it's a very nice addition to the rotation, and I'm not so sure that they're finished here. I do think they want to add a relief pitcher, and you know, maybe not just one. I mean, they may go out and do something else here, but they have filled two of their three needs, and I think they've done a nice job in doing so. And I think the Cardinals fans are really going to enjoy not only the addition of Eric Fetty, but having Tommy back. Fun story about Tommy is that Mike Claiborne and I were calling a game late in spring training, and right before we were about to start, Claibs gets off the phone. He goes, I just got a call from Fam and got him a ticket. I'm like, what? He goes, yeah, Fam's here. I'm like, what? And so Fam's a free agent, and he comes into the booth. I'm like, Tommy, like, so good to see you. I haven't seen you in a while. And, you know, we hug and talk about how he had been in the World Series of the Diamondbacks, and he's a free agent. He's looking for work, and, you know, who knows? Could the Cardinals get him? I don't know. And he didn't say anything on the broadcast, but it was fun. He had a headset on and was just kind of hanging out with us, and I introduced on the air, I said, free agent Tommy Pham in the booth with us, you know, and he laughed, and he ends up getting a nice job with the White Sox, and he's always motivating himself. I always felt like he had this chip on his shoulder always, you know, and was trying to prove to people that he could do it. And it's just how he was. He spent a number of years in the minor leagues. So I think it's good to have that kind of person. He's going to try to prove something here. And it's just always good to add new people. It tells your teammates that, or it tells your team that your front office is going for it, that they're trying to improve and get you into the playoffs. And perhaps that elevates everyone else's game.
Tom, I was listening this morning when you had Joe Buck on. Tonight, he and Chip Carey will have the television call. Talk about, I mean, I think we all know, but give me your take on why it's so special and so cool.
It really is. To have those two together, these are two of the biggest names in our industry. Chip, who does our games, has been in the business for a long, long time. I mean, he was calling Cubs games back in the home run race days of Maguire Sosa. I mean, this is a guy who's been doing it forever, and he and Joe go way back together. And so it's great to see Chip get to be back with a friend, and of course, the Carey Buck connection and how Joe's father and Chip's not only grandfather Harry, but father Skip knew Jack very well and worked with him. So that's a nice thing. But it's also just for Joe, I think, really great to come full circle. This is where it all started for him. He hasn't called a baseball game in 3 years, and he is very excited. He told me this morning that he was sitting in his office going over Houston Texans stats because he's going to call a game here pretty soon for the Monday Night Football crew. And he also had in front of him Texas Rangers stats because he has the game tonight. And he said, you know, it's cool. It's like I'm going back to how it used to be, back and forth between football and baseball, just like his dad used to do. So I think it will be a sentimental night for him, but he will also be on his game. You can be sure of that. And just to have the voice of the World Series for a long, long time back calling Cardinals games in the booth is going to be a great sound.
I know Joe a little bit because Bulger being a mutual friend of ours, and I've always loved how Joe is the opposite of defensive. I think if it were me, I might have my hackles up when someone questioned, and oh, you got the job because of your dad, and Chip's the same way. And they both acknowledge it. They talk about how lucky and fortunate, but there's no denying that they both put it up there when they needed to.
They totally did, and they're both very talented. And, you talk about there's some pressure in there, too, because there's always that in the back of your mind that people think that you were put in that place because of your family name. So you had to prove to everybody that you were good, and they have. I mean, they have come through, and they have stood the test of time, and I agree with you. I think both of them handle it extremely well. The common thing between them is they're both just very welcoming, kind people. I mean, I cannot say enough about Chip Carey and what he has done for me personally, what he's doing for Joe here, and just how he is for every single person who works on that television crew. And Joe is just a great St. Louis treasure and cares very much about where he came from. He loves the fact that it all started here, that he remains here. I think it's really important to Joe to be able to show his kids where it all started. Mm-hmm. He's a family guy, and like his dad, I'm certain that Joe will be wiping away a tear tonight because family means a lot to him, and I'm really, really excited for him.
Thank you, Tommy. We appreciate it, my friend.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
I'm one of those 324 DG Ass and Camo X. Gonna be hot as hell next 3 days. It's National Chicken Wing Day. Am I the only one who has a complicated relationship with chicken wings? Like, I love them, but the flap in the vein every now and then.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Get past that. It tastes good.
I feel the same way. I definitely don't want the vein, but if it happens, it happens.
I have embraced the vein.
No.
I don't like it, but
you eat it?
I have no choice.
Oh, you do have a choice.
No, because if I don't eat it, if I don't go all in and embrace it, I will be disgusted by it. So I have to force myself.
You just don't look.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I look.
Dude.
But So far,
what we know about you today is you're fascinated by prison food and you willingly, optically eat the vein on a chicken wing.
You gotta just dive in. You gotta learn to love the vein.
No, if I take a bite and that vein gets in between my teeth, I go to church.
No.
Oh man. You know what's the worst is when you get the drummies that are just a little too big and you're like, what kind of chicken is this from?
See, I don't sweat that one. I'm okay with that.
That one don't bother me at all.
I'm okay with that.
That one's all over steroids? Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
When I get a small drummy, I'm like, whoa, is this a normal chicken? Come on.
That's a good point. I feel the same way about chickens that I do professional athletes. Like, make them take steroids, you know? a woman in Colombia ordered an air fryer on Amazon, but when she opened the box, it was a live lizard.
Oh.
Wait, what? She ordered what?
An air fryer. Got a live lizard.
Was the lizard in the fryer or it was just
totally
separate?
No, it was just in the box.
Okay.
Yeah.
You can buy a lot of alive things off of Amazon.
Can you really? I didn't know
that. Yeah. You can buy like tons of live ladybugs. The product reviews are extremely funny for these, by the way.
Yeah.
Because usually it's like one star. I opened up the box of 50,000 ladybugs and they were all dead. Or alternately, one star. I opened up the box of 10,000 ladybugs, and now there's ladybugs all over my house.
Kev, I know you saw a couple movies over the weekend. What do you think of Robert Downey Jr. playing a different role in the Marvel Universe?
I kind of like it.
Do you?
Yeah, first of all, I like him, so he's good. But it's a completely different storyline and universe now, and you're not going to see him. It's a character that's going to have it. Dr. Doom wears a mask. So you're just going to, it's going to be his voice. I'm cool with it. It's fine.
They're not going to not have him show his face.
I mean, he probably will. I'm just saying.
They're paying him $500 quadrillion.
Same universe, different universe.
Same universe. I mean, it's all Marvel. It's all part of the Avengers stuff. Yeah.
I'm guessing the story will be Doctor Doom is an alternate universe Tony Stark.
It could be that, yeah. It could very well be that.
Because
they're playing around with all of those ideas.
Speaking of alternate universes, a new theory that scientists cannot disprove yet is that the whole universe is inside of a black hole. The singularity, the edges of the universe, the edges of the black hole.
It's just
the event horizon that we are in. Our universe is a black hole.
And then there's like a bunch of other little black holes inside the big...
Exactly.
Wow.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
GS on KMOX 334. Dave is going to be off for a few days handling some health issues that he's having. So our love and wishes are with Dave. We have a live look.
We do.
I am going to be out all week long this week, so I wanted to give you a little update on the weather on this Monday afternoon. I've got a little surgery planned. In fact, by the time you hear this, I should be coming out of surgery, but I'm going to be kind of incommunicado most of the week. I'll keep you up to date. Now, as far as our weather, it's easy. It's all about hardcore summer weather, 3H weather, hazy, hot, and humid. And that's going to be the rule really all week long, looking for a high temperature of 97 on Tuesday. And the heat index on Tuesday could be pushing 105, 106. So kind of dangerous heat coming up. Tuesday night, clear skies. It's warm, it's humid, 79. That's it for the low. The city on Tuesday night into early Wednesday morning, I think, only gets down to about 82 degrees. Wednesday, sunny, hot, and humid. Right now, Wednesday looking like the hottest day of the week. I'm going to go with 100 degrees Wednesday afternoon, pretty close to the record of 103 from 2012. Then it looks like this big dome of high pressure that's going to bring this heat is going to push back to the west just a little bit. Still a lot of questions about this, but Thursday is kind of the transition day. It's partly sunny. It's hot. It's humid Thursday. Some spot thunderstorms around 95. Friday, partly sunny. Some spot thunderstorms, and let's cool it back to 92, if we can call it that. And Saturday, partly sunny, some spot storms. Saturday looking like a high of about 90 degrees. So it's the combo of the heat and the humidity, really, all week long. Talk to you later. But again, I'll be out the rest of the week.
Yeah. Hopefully everything went well with Dave.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll hear from him
soon. You like to get the weather, though, with him coming out of anesthesia?
Oh, man. Wouldn't that be something?
I can only imagine. Like, seriously.
Yeah, he would settle some debts, wouldn't he?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if we'd be allowed to have him back
on.
Yeah,
he'd have some hot takes. Listen, you miserable piece of crap.
I'm Dave Effin Murray.
Blaming me if the weather's bad.
He's just, he goes straight Ron Burgundy.
Yeah.
Go blank yourself, St. Louis.
So before we do headlines, there's some updates to the trade?
A little bit. So the Cardinals have announced the trade. So there's some more details that we didn't have the info on before. Everything that we have been talking about is still part of the deal. Nothing has been taken out of it, but they announced the complete deal. So the Cardinals are getting Eric Fetty, the starting pitcher. They're getting Tommy Pham. Obviously, we know him pretty well. They're trading away Tommy Edman and a minor league pitcher named Oliver Gonzalez, who's 17, pitching in the Dominican Summer League. So long-term, my guess is he's a 17-year-old guy that throws hard because he's 6'4", he's 200 pounds. So this is where the Dodgers are taking a gamble on a lottery ticket, right? This is a young guy who throws hard. They can see what happens there. So that's an addition. But we also found out from the team that the Cardinals are also getting cash from the White Sox.
What explain to me what's in it for the White Sox.
Well, they're getting a lot of young players from the Dodgers.
Okay.
Yeah, they're getting some good ones. There's a Miguel Vargas is going. He's been considered a top prospect, but really hasn't caught on in the Dodgers lineup because they can't just let him play. They're good, so they're playing other guys. And they're getting a bunch of other young players as well. So the Cardinals are getting cash from the White Sox as a part of this. We don't know how much yet. And they're also getting a player to be named later from the Dodgers. So there's actually more coming in than we thought. Mm-hmm. Now, there's one piece going out that we didn't know, but it's not one that anybody's familiar with.
Yeah.
I mean, he's, you know, I had to look him up to see anything about him. He's not in their top 30 prospects on MLB.com or anything like that. But certainly, if the Dodgers want him, I'm sure he's a 6'4" righty who throws hard.
Yeah.
It'd be my guess.
So we make fun of Wheels because he has no small reactions. Every reaction. If he gets blue cheese instead of ranch, he's screaming.
And
I've been watching with great interest as you read Twitter.
Yep.
That you were saying that some people are never happy.
Nobody. I mean, there is nothing to dislike about this trade for the Cardinals. If you want to argue that they didn't get a superstar pitcher, fine, okay, but nobody's arguing that they did, right? They're getting a good pitcher who's having a really good year, and he doesn't cost much money. He's controlled for another year, so he'll help you next year too. And you're getting Tommy Pham when you needed a right-handed bat to be a part-time player. He's perfect for that.
Does he replace, I know that he would be above Pallante, but is he replacing Pallante or is he replacing the bullpen?
Great question. The question will be who comes out of the rotation if somebody does, right? So Fetty's going to start. There's no question about that. And I don't think it's going to really matter.
This could be our sixth starter deal.
They could go for six starters for a period of time. Although that puts more on your bullpen because you don't have as many guys. They could move Pallante back to the bullpen, a job that he's done before.
That would solve a couple problems.
They could go crazy and decide to demote a veteran. I don't think they will. They could go crazy and say, well, sorry, Lance Lynn, but you've been struggling more than the other guys, and you're going to the bullpen. I don't think they go that route. I think it's either six-man or Pallante to the pen.
Boy, either Pallante or Lance Lynn to the bullpen really helped, because Lance Lynn, when he's good, he can eat innings.
Yeah, he hasn't this year. That's been kind of the unfortunate part about Lynn. They brought him in because that's generally what he is, right? He's generally a guy that's going to go out and get you 180, 190 innings. But this year, it's been different, man. This year, he's made 20 starts, and he's averaging about 5 innings a start. And normally, he's more than that. If you look at him in the past, he's typically a good bit more than that. I know it doesn't sound like a big difference, right? The difference between 5 innings and 5 2/3. But when you add that up over 30 starts, that's a lot of innings covered by the bullpen over time, or a lot of batters covered by the bullpen over time. I don't think they go that route, though. I mean, he's still, he's got a 4.17 ERA, which is not terrible by any means. It's better than average in the majors. I think it's much more likely that they put Pallante into a more versatile bullpen role and have him be the guy that if somebody has a short start, he'll go eat 2 or 3 innings. Or if they need a spot start because of a doubleheader, instead of it being Liberatore,
it'd probably be Pallante. Throwing 100 pitches, right?
No, Pallante's been good. If you're looking at this team since July 1st, he might be the best pitcher on the team. Like, he might have the best ERA of the starters, is what I mean. I'm going by ERA. Since July 1st. I haven't really checked that, but I think that's probably correct. And if you're looking at, interesting decisions, the thing that makes Pallante a palatable choice for the pen is that he's done it. They've used him there before, and he's had success at it. So, sliding him into that spot would not be as dramatic a move as moving Lance Lynn, an example.
What are our options with Gallegos?
Well, he's been designated for assignment, so he's either going to go through waivers and either be claimed or cleared, which would make him a free agent, or they do have a couple of days left they can still trade him. So once somebody's been designated for assignment, you have a period of time where you can still trade that player to someone else. I'm sure they're trying to trade him, and I'm sure they're hoping that somebody will claim him if they don't trade him. I don't think they will. Typically, he's got about $2 million left on what's owed this year. Teams are typically not going to put in a claim on $2 million for a guy with a 6.5 ERA when they could just let him clear waivers and pick him up for the minimum after that.
Yeah.
He'll get picked up. Somebody will take him. The question is whether or not they take him at a spot where the Cardinals would then be off the hook for the money. That's kind of where it is.
Headlines, Rage.
Headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. Okay, Representative Michael McCaul is one of the House lawmakers investigating the attempted assassination on Donald Trump. And he's told CBS's Face the Nation that shooter Thomas Crooks had explosives in his vehicle and was carrying a detonator on his person. He planned to create a diversion by blowing up his vehicle on the other side of the property while he fled the scene.
This guy's a real mystery, isn't he?
Man. That's more than we thought, right? Because yeah. there was some buzz that didn't he like that people were initially like he decided to do this today because right. it was a matter of convenience. Clearly, he had something planned for a long time, right. whether it was this specifically or not.
It seems like it could have been not Trump. You know what I mean? Like it, I don't want to say anybody,
he was looking to shoot somebody.
It didn't have to be Trump.
Man, what a failure. I mean, we all know that. We watched the Cheadle get dismantled and then resign. We've seen all the criticism, but now it's coming out that they identified this guy 90 minutes ahead of time. And that a local cop took a picture of him, sent it out to all the people. It's really shocking that they let Trump take the stage, at least when he did. You'd think that they would clear that guy, that they would be looking for him. And we know had they been looking for him, they would have found him because he was there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, moving on. Wild mushrooms are leading to a surge in poison control center calls. They were up 26% over the last 3 months and up by more than 100% in regions like Minnesota. One thing you should avoid if you are a forager, don't ask AI for help identifying mushrooms. It's not going to help you the way a guidebook or an experienced mushroom hunter will be able to.
Yes, Kev?
If you don't know what it is, don't eat it.
But I asked AI, and they said it was
You just
fine.
Really yeah. offended Andrew.
But what if I do know what it is?
Yeah.
It's a mushroom.
Am I the only one?
Mario eats them all the time.
I grew up in the country like you, Rage. Mushrooms were so terrifying to me.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. they were all poisonous.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was always mushroom hunting season, mm-hmm. so it's like, okay, those are safe. But, like, anytime you saw, like, one that sprouted up on the lawn overnight, yeah. it's like, get that away from me. That's going to take me down. The FDA has approved a blood test that can detect colon cancer. The test is called Shield, and it's approved for adults 45 and older.
Wow.
It'll be available by prescription and expected to be covered by Medicare.
Wow.
It was 83% accurate in detecting cancer, according to a study published earlier this year.
So I wonder if that would replace colonoscopies or if it would just be...
It's not meant as a replacement. But it's just to work
another
alongside.
Step.
Yes. There's over 100 wildfires burning across the United States right now. The largest is California's Park Fire. It's covered more than 562 square miles of Northern California and is only 12% contained.
I don't know what the penalty is. You've seen the guy who started it, right?
Yes.
He set his car on fire and shoved it down a hill. Like, he absolutely did. He's responsible for every bit of this. I hope, to me, I understand, I don't think anyone's died yet, but to me, this is as big a deal as killing someone.
I agree.
Like, whatever penalty you pay should be, the guy should never see the light of day again.
Totally
just
agree.
Just my opinion.
Vice President Kamala Harris raised $200 million in the first week of her presidential campaign. Of those who donated to her campaign, 2/3 of those people were first-time donors.
Hmm.
And they've had more than 170,000 new volunteers sign up. It certainly has a lot of momentum.
Quite a week.
Mm-hmm.
Deadpool and Wolverine has broken some box office records. It raked in $205 million in its opening weekend. That's the biggest opening of 2024 and the biggest ever for an R-rated movie.
They made the same as Kamala.
Yeah.
They're more entertaining.
So you saw it over the
weekend?
Yeah,
it was good. It's really good. I mean, you know, this is the best compliment I can pay to it. It is exactly what it's supposed to be. Right? Deadpool is a certain kind of movie. Like, all of the Deadpool movies have
been. I have a really stupid question. Okay. Mm. I am not a comic book guy. I'm not a Deadpool guy. Is he dead? Is that
no,
the thing?
No.
Okay.
No, I mean, he's...
Because he looks dead.
He can't die.
Okay.
That's kind of... He's got. I mean, it's one of the many things about his superpowers. But no, he's a... I'm trying to think of the best way to... Say it. I'm not. This is no spoiler, by the way. Everybody, there's no plot. I'm not giving any plot things away. But the first Deadpool set a tone, which was This guy is funny. He's a smartass. He's crude. I mean, like, crude as you can possibly be. And it's very violent. It's very, there are a lot of fights, a lot of shooting, a lot of stabs. You know, it's that's what it is. And this is exactly what the other ones have been. It
can
is
you
exactly
explain
what
in 30 seconds how he became Deadpool?
I don't know, Andrew. How do I do this in 30 seconds?
He got caught on fire or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's your typical it's your typical like superhero origin story.
I'm so
something
glad I
went
asked
terribly
that question.
Wrong. Yeah.
I thought didn't he have cancer and he had an experimental
he did.
Treatment?
Yes.
Oh yeah, there we go.
Yes, and then obviously it
how,
led
how
to
how am
him,
I correcting the nerd?
Yeah,
this.
No kidding.
It led
I
to him
don't
being
remember. I don't really care about
it. It led to him being disfigured, but it also basically he can regenerate. He never dies.
Okay, yeah. Fair enough. Rachel's just talking about how the Olympics makes her want to go to Paris, and I was there after the bar exam, and we flew in at 3 in the morning and didn't realize our hotel was above a bistro. So that first morning, we went downstairs, we had croissants and coffee, and that night, I got physically thrown out of a brothel because my friends and I didn't realize we were at a brothel, and we didn't understand why, one, we were doing so great with these beautiful women.
He's like, they all like us!
We thought they loved Americans, and we didn't understand why it was $200 for a beer, so they physically threw us onto the rainy cobblestone streets.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.